Do you want victory? You can have it in Christ Jesus.
Time once again for Abiding in Christ with Jim Wood.
You have to step back, evaluate the various positions in light of Scripture, and then re-engage with a godly perspective.
Pastor Wood is the founder and executive director of Ware's Valley Ranch, a Christian home and school for kids from crisis situations.
Jesus said, "As the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Abide in my love."
You can contact the program by calling 866-41-ABIDE or by visiting us on the web at pastorwood.org. And now, here's your host, Jim Wood.
You would please open your Bibles to 2 Samuel chapter 12. 2 Samuel chapter 12. This is God's word. So the Lord sent Nathan to David. When he arrived, he said to him, "There were two men in a certain city, one rich and the other poor. The rich man had very large flocks and herds, but the poor man had nothing except one small ewe lamb that he had bought. He raised her, and she grew up with him and with his children. From his meager food she would eat, from his cup she would drink, and in his arms she would sleep. She was like a daughter to him. Now a traveler came to the rich man, but the rich man could not bring himself to take one of his own sheep or cattle to prepare for the traveler who had come to him. Instead, he took the poor man's lamb and prepared it for his guest. David was infuriated with the man and said to Nathan, 'As the Lord lives, the man who did this deserves to die. Because he has done this thing and shown no pity, he must pay four lambs for that lamb.' Nathan replied to David, 'You are the man. This is what the Lord God of Israel says. I anointed you king over Israel, and I rescued you from Saul. I gave your master's house to you and your master's wives into your arms, and I gave you the house of Israel and Judah, and if that was not enough, I would have given you even more. Why then have you despised the Lord's command by doing what I consider evil? You struck down Uriah the Hethite with the sword and took his wife as your own wife. You murdered him with the Ammonite sword. Now therefore, the sword will never leave your house because you despised me and took the wife of Uriah the Hethite to be your own wife. This is what the Lord says. I am going to bring disaster on you from your own family. I will take your wives and give them to another before your very eyes, and he will sleep with them in broad daylight. You acted in secret, but I will do this before all Israel and in broad daylight." David responded to Nathan, "I have sinned against the Lord." Then Nathan replied to David, "And the Lord has taken away your sin. You will not die. However, because you treated the Lord with such contempt in this matter, the son born to you will die." Then Nathan went home. The Lord struck the baby that Uriah's wife had borne to David, and he became deathly ill. David pleaded with God for the boy. He fasted, went home, and spent the night lying on the ground. The elders of his house stood beside him to get him up from the ground, but he was unwilling and would not eat anything with them. On the seventh day, the baby died. But David's servants were afraid to tell him the baby was dead. They said, "Look, while the baby was alive, we spoke to him and he wouldn't listen to us. So how can we tell him the baby is dead? He may do something desperate." When David saw that his servants were whispering to each other, he guessed that the baby was dead. So he asked his servants, "Is the baby dead?" "He is dead," they replied. Then David got up from the ground. He washed, anointed himself, changed his clothes, went to the Lord's house and worshiped. Then he went home and requested something to eat. So they served him food and he ate. His servants asked him, "Why have you done this?" While the baby was alive, you fasted and wept, but when he died, you got up and ate food. He answered, while the baby was alive, I fasted and wept because I thought, who knows? The Lord may be gracious to me and let him live. But now that he is dead, why should I fast? Can I bring him back again? I'll go to him, but he will never return to me. Then David comforted his wife Bathsheba. He went to her and slept with her. She gave birth to a son and named him Solomon. The Lord loved him, and he sent a message through the prophet Nathan, who named him Jedidiah because of the Lord. Joab fought against Rabbah of the Ammonites and captured the royal fortress. Then Joab sent messengers to David to say, I've fought against Rabbah and have also captured its water supply. Now therefore, assemble the rest of the troops, lay siege to the city and capture it. Otherwise, I will be the one to capture the city and it will be named after me. So David assembled all the troops and went to Rabbah. He fought against it and captured it. He took the crown from the head of their king and it was placed on David's head. The crown weighed 75 pounds of gold, and it had a precious stone in it. In addition, David took away a large quantity of plunder from the city. He removed the people who were in the city and put them to work with saws, iron picks, and iron axes, and to labor at brickmaking. He did the same to all the Ammonite cities. Then he and all his troops returned to Jerusalem. May God add his blessing to this reading from his holy and inspired word.
Thank you for listening to Abiding in Christ with Pastor Jim Wood.
Did you know that along with being an excellent Bible teacher, Pastor Wood has authored over a dozen books? We'd like to encourage you to visit pastorwood.org for resources and books authored by Pastor Wood and his wife Susan. You can also listen to or download teachings by Pastor Wood 24/7. Please visit pastorwood.org today. That's pastorwood.org.
To step out of my comfort zone into the realm of the unknown where Jesus is and he's holding out his hand.
David thought he had gotten away with his crime. He had committed adultery. He had committed murder, and he thought that with that murder, he had covered over his sin. Now he's married to Bathsheba. She's going to bear a child. Everything should be fine. But it wasn't fine, because God saw what he had done, and it was evil in the Lord's sight. So God, who could have simply taken David out, chose instead to confront David with his sin. It was God's mercy that he sent Nathan the prophet. And Nathan came and, speaking as inspired by the Holy Spirit, used an illustration that would be especially poignant to David. David, you remember, had been a shepherd. He had spent years caring for his father's flock. And so he would especially relate to this story. And he told David about a rich man and a poor man, and how the poor man had this precious lamb that he loved, that he treated like a child, a member of his family. David could relate to that. And he said, but the wealthy man, the rich neighbor, when he had an out-of-town guest, instead of slaughtering one of his own animals, took the poor man's lamb and slaughtered it in order to provide dinner for his guest. David was furious. When he was talking about somebody else, he could see very clearly right and wrong. He could see easily, this is evil. And David's response was not, well, you know, who am I to judge? David was infuriated and said to Nathan, as the Lord lives, the man who did this deserves to die. Amen. That's the truth. David could see it when it was somebody else. The man who did this deserves to die. Because he has done this thing and shown no pity, he must pay 4 lambs for that lamb. Nathan replied to David, "You are the man. You are the man." Folks, when we look at someone else's sin and we think that is evil, that person deserves to go to hell, that's right. But that person is us. We too have sinned against a holy God. All of us have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. It's not just some people. We haven't all sinned in the same ways. We haven't all done the same things. But if we compare ourselves to one another, we're missing the point. When we see our own sin before a holy God, and we realize we deserve God's wrath. When I was 5 years old, I asked my father to pray with me that I would receive assurance of my salvation. I wanted to be sure that I really was saved. And so I remember vividly to this day, my dad coming and told me to go up and get in bed and he'd come talk to me. It was a Sunday night. I went upstairs, got ready for bed, got in bed, and here came Dad, and Dad started talking. He said, "What do you mean, assurance of salvation?" I said, "I want to be sure that I'm saved." And he said, "Well, saved, what do you mean saved? Saved from what?" And I said, "I don't want to go to hell." And he said, "Why would you go to hell?" I said, "Because I've sinned." He said, "Really? What have you done?" Folks, I was 5 years old. Do you really think it's healthy for little kids to feel like they deserve hell? Yes, if you want them to know the truth. He said, "What have you done?" I said, "Well, I've lied. I've disobeyed you and Mom. So I deserve hell. I thank God that as a preschooler, I had learned that we've all sinned and we all deserve God's wrath." If you think that you haven't done anything that bad, you're clueless. All of us have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. All of us. Well, what about the person living out in the jungle who's never heard the gospel? They've sinned. They deserve hell. Well, that just seems awfully harsh. If I was going to send you to hell, that would be harsh. And the reason is because I've sinned too. But God, who created all things, has every right to destroy us, and instead has chosen to offer salvation to all who will receive him. Amazing grace. How sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. If you haven't learned yet that you're a wretch and you deserve hell, I'm here to shatter your bogus self-image. Our righteousness is as filthy rags in his sight. Please know that one of the kindest things that anybody can ever do for you is to help you understand that you are in desperate need of a Savior. That's not being cruel. It's being kind, because you need to know that apart from God's mercy, you are lost. You're lost. David had committed adultery. He'd committed murder. But when he heard about somebody else's sin, he said, "That man deserves to die." Nathan said, "You're the man. You're the man. Let me tell you what God says." And he walked him through his own life and exposed before him what God knew he had done. And faced with his own sin, David had no defense. Verse 13, David responded to Nathan, "I have sinned against the Lord. I have sinned against the Lord." You know what else verse 13 says? Then Nathan replied to David, "And the Lord has taken away your sin. You will not die." Wow. Did David deserve to die? Yes. But God says, "I'm going to spare you. The Lord has taken away your sin. You will not die. However, because you treated the Lord with such contempt in this matter, the son born to you will die." Then Nathan went home. Now you may say, that's not fair. How can God punish the child for what the father did? He didn't punish the child. The child died, but David was the one who suffered. And Bathsheba also suffered. That was her baby. And she was not treated in this as a guilty party. She was not a willing participant. She was not a seductress. She was someone who was sent for and treated like property by King David. But the child's death was punishment to David. That was the purpose. And I'll tell you something, just so you know. Sometimes other people suffer when we're the ones being disciplined. Sometimes other people suffer when we're the ones who messed up. And it's not because God is punishing them. It's because we live in a world where there are consequences and we are not islands. No man is an island. The things that happen to you impact others. You may think, well, it's my life. I can do what I want. You need to know that when you mess up your life, other people get hurt because there are other people who care about you. Don't think you're just free to do what you want and it won't hurt anybody but me. You're lying to yourself. So David was punished by the death of this child, and Bathsheba suffered with him. The Lord struck the baby that Uriah's wife had borne to David, and he became deathly ill. And David pleaded with God for the boy. He fasted, went home, and spent the night lying on the ground. He didn't get in his bed. He lay on the ground. And the elders of his house stood beside him to get him up from the ground, but he was unwilling and would not eat anything with him. For days, he fasted and prayed, and the baby died, as God had said it would. And when David found out, he got up, he cleaned up, and he went and he worshiped the Lord. And then he came back and got himself something to eat. And those who were around him were amazed, and they said, "Why? We don't understand. We were afraid because of the way you were acting. You were acting so desperate for this child to be healed. We were afraid that if you acted that way when the child was sick, that if you found out the child died, you might harm yourself." He said, "No." He said, "As long as the child was alive, I had hope that the Lord might spare him. But," he said, "but now that he's gone, he will not come back to me, but I will go to him." And many of us cling to the hope that here, as in many other places, David spoke prophetically by the Holy Spirit, not simply saying that he would go to the place of the dead, but that he who believed in the resurrection and in the Psalms often spoke of the resurrection, that David who said that he would dwell in the house of the Lord forever, David believed that this child, who was not being punished by God for his father's sin, this child would be awaiting him when he died. I believe that. I can't prove it, but I believe that that is what God intended for us in this statement of David. I will go to him, but he will never return to me. Then David comforted his wife Bathsheba. He went to her and slept with her, and she gave birth to a son and named him Solomon, which sounds like the word for peace in Hebrew. And the Lord loved him. What? Now, wait a minute. David wasn't supposed to be married to this woman. This was wrong. He had messed up. How could God love their child? He did. And he sent the same prophet, Nathan, to announce what God wanted the child to be named. Jedediah, which means beloved by the Lord. Loved by God. You see, this child was not responsible any more than the first child for what had happened. The first child didn't die because the child was guilty of something. The child died as a punishment to David. This child was blessed not because of the parents, but because God loved the child. Before they had done anything good or bad, God loved Jacob. I thought God loved us because of what we do. Well, in that case, we would all go to hell. If God's love was based on our conduct, we've already established that all of us have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. Let me just tell you, there's only one place where there's hope, and that's in Christ Jesus. There is no plan B. The Lord loved the child that was called Solomon, and the Lord said, I'm naming him Jedediah, which means I really love this one. No matter where you've been, no matter where you've come from, no matter what you've been through, it doesn't keep God from loving you. David was an adulterer and a murderer, and God forgave him, took away his sin, and God loved his child. And you know what? It was through this child, Jedediah, that the line of Jesus came. Jesus, the one who came to save all of us sinners, Jesus came through the line of Solomon. That is the miracle of God's grace. The chapter ends with victory on the battlefield that David was credited with. $1 million crown, 75 pounds of gold, and a gemstone. David is winning victories. But in the next chapter, we see the things that God had warned him beginning to happen. Our life is going to have ups and downs, but the thing that will last forever is our relationship with the Lord. Please don't miss that.
You've been listening to Abiding in Christ. If you have questions that you'd like for us to tackle on the program or comments you want to make, I want to invite all of you to contact us at 866-41-ABIDE. That's our toll-free number, 866-41-ABIDE, or contact us on the web at pastorwood.org. That's pastorwood.org.
www.abideinchrist.org.